Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to a special edition of the Athletic NBA Show. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. With me is Sam Amick.
Here in Las Vegas at the in-season tournament, where the Los Angeles Lakers, a team that, man, they just needed to win something, didn't they? Just a team that needed a win. They win 123-109 in dominant fashion. A very like old school game, mm-hmm. where like this did not resemble 2023 basketball at all. There were like very little threes. The Lakers didn't hit a three until like just a few minutes left in the third quarter.
Yeah. Oh, they were headed for the history books on that front.
Yeah, it was kind of bizarre. LeBron's the MVP. Anthony Davis was dominant.
Right.
You voted for LeBron. Yes.
I did. Indeed.
Give me your just like overarching thoughts on tonight.
Fun game. It was not 2023 NBA basketball. I gotta real quickly, Andrew, I'm gonna use you to use the material I didn't have the courage to use on Twitter.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like getting roasted. It is a little funny to me that the Lakers are just determined to win every championship that is outside of the normal championship.
We got
the bubble title, which
it's true.
To be clear, I have always, you've heard me on the podcast, I've always been a big proponent that that was a real title.
Yeah.
And in fact, I would argue that it might have been harder than most, but still strange that the Lakers win all the weird NBA titles. This one, though, I love the contrast in styles.
Yeah.
I mean, the size, the length, the physicality of the Lakers, who age-wise, size-wise, all these things, it was like the big boy, big brother in the matchup.
Oh, yeah.
And here comes, you know, kind of lithe, you know, kind of speedy Tyrese Halliburton and his Pacers that obviously live up to their mascot name. Indiana kept chipping away.
They did.
That was the fun part of the game. Is you would look at it, and I have the splits in front of me. I mean, the defense on the Lakers side was obviously really, really good all night long. They finish, Indiana shoots 36.8 overall, 10 of 41 from three, but they were there. There were a few moments late where you're going, oh my God, they're going to steal this thing.
Yep.
So fun game. It certainly was a good finale.
Yeah, the Pacers had cut it to three in like a really important moment. And I think it was kind of cool that it was this player that hit the three. It was Cam Reddish that hit the three.
Yep.
And then the Pacers didn't get any closer than that for the rest of the game. And I thought it was, the reason it was cool is because he has been playing really well for the Lakers so far this season and played particularly well tonight. He defended Halliburton in a lot of different spots and gave him a lot of trouble. And I thought they talked a lot about him. Darvin Ham did.
Yeah.
Post game, just that he's somebody that kind of came in here and they have kind of nurtured him as a basketball player. And he has gotten better through that. And I thought that was impressive. We need to talk about Anthony Davis, though.
Real quick, because I was trying to cheat and do research here. To your Cam Reddish point, LeBron post game, I just saw a tweet. Chris Haynes had talked to him briefly. And I guess LeBron said that Cam Reddish was the guy that he wanted this the most for.
Yeah.
Which is cool because the part I love about covering LeBron right now, and just full disclosure, so I'm 45, he's 39. You kind of see, man, the maturity and that older guy mentality where he's finding all this joy in the younger player's success.
Yeah.
And he's going to highlight a Cam Reddish who, to you know, for any of the viewers, listeners who only have a vague memory of what Cam has gone through in the NBA, you know, you're talking about, let's see, Atlanta, 3 years, Knicks, Portland, now Lakers. He was a guy that folks largely gave up on.
Oh, yeah.
We did not see him jumping into the starting lineup a couple weeks into the Lakers season and helping their defense the way he has.
Well, and people openly mocked the Lakers. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to bring Cam Reddish and, like, you're wasting a roster spot.
100%.
You know, and it's worked out really well for both parties so far. Anthony Davis was unbelievable tonight. His stat line, 41, 20, 5 assists, 4 blocks. Only 2 personal fouls, too, anchoring the defense. He was phenomenal. 16 to 24, 9 of 13 from the free throw line. And like dominated early and consistently throughout this game.
Indeed. LeBron talks post-game in the celebration, Andrew, about how Shaq was sitting by the bench.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great, because how many times have we sat there and watched TNT? You know, it doesn't matter. Shaq, until his dying day, hopefully a long, long time down the road,
yeah,
is going to have that Lakers filter, that Lakers tint, that Lakers passion.
Oh, yeah.
He's constantly killing AD. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just in this department, mm-hmm, for not being that guy. And, mm-hmm, and Shaq is, with good reason, just, you know, he is the quintessential big, and he was perhaps the most dominant, at least top three ever in the history of the game.
Yeah.
If you just talk about dominance. And so I thought that was a great little subplot to have Shaq nearby, to have AD respond. I certainly, having covered the bubble up close a couple of years back, you know, there was, I think, late third quarter, a moment with LeBron and AD, maybe fourth quarter late, where they met. I don't know what they were talking about, but they stopped during a break, and it's a quick hug and it's a big old smile, and they're talking to each other in that way that they did, you know, at Disney World a couple of years back. The vibe was off the charts. And not to get too macro here real quick, but it's so interesting to me. It's going to be weird to go from this kind of an environment where there's a celebratory mood and all this confidence to the Lakers, more than any team, waking up and going, all right, we got 60 more of these to go.
Yeah. You know? That is a bizarre aspect of this, in that there's like celebration and like the confetti falls, and you like have this giant moment. It's like, oh, like we got to go play basketball.
The Pacers like are playing days in Detroit tomorrow night.
Isn't that bizarre?
I mean, at least it's Detroit. They got a good chance, but they got to go to Detroit.
Yeah, that is just strange. That's something that will take some getting used to,
right,
about this. But yeah.
But AD, you know, and I was, again, cheating and trying to see how long it had been. What did he finish with tonight?
41 and 20.
You know, the funny part is these numbers won't count.
They don't even count.
Right. That's his season high. Yeah. So I guess his season high remains 30, which he's done, or 31. Here it is. 31 season high. You know, he was in beast mode. And this is why he is such a, at times, frustrating superstar.
Yeah.
Because you do feel like he could do it on a more consistent basis. But great night for AD.
Great night for AD. Halliburton on the other end. Really slow start. I think he was only 2 of 4 at halftime. 2 of those misses were air balls. He just wasn't.
Were they air balls or blocks? He got blocked at least once.
Maybe one was blocked and the other one was just like a straight up air ball.
Okay. And I laughed because, remember in his press conference yesterday, he talked about his shot.
Yeah.
And he was getting a little defensive.
Yeah. Saying, yeah.
It's, you know, it's not a video game. You know, the defender's not just hitting the square button to swap my shot away. I know how to create space. It was almost like early on, Jared Vanderbilt must have seen the press conference, because he closed that space.
Yeah.
And he was hitting the square button.
Yep.
And he was making things hard. That length, again, was tough for Tyrese.
Yeah. Tyrese is he's feeling himself a little bit, and because he does have an unconventional shot.
Yeah.
And like, no one can deny that. But then he said something. He said it yesterday too, was that, you know, everybody was saying that Steph Curry had an unconventional shot. Coming, it's like, wait a minute. Like that.
I heard that before. I don't think they did, actually.
No.
They liked his shot quite a bit.
It's pretty good. It looks pretty good.
He's always reminded me of, and I'm subjective, or this is my background coming through, back in the day covering the Kings. Do you remember Kevin Martin's jumper?
Oh, yeah. Because you played in OKC. Yeah, it looks like an elephant trunk is what I always compared it to.
A little quicker, but I mean, Tyrese, he's still, I know I'm giving flowers, you know, sympathetically, I guess, to the losing side.
Sure.
But there was a persistence to his game that I liked. I think he had 13 and 6 in the second half.
Yes.
He kept pushing. They have the rotations crack me up. TJ McConnell comes in as a spark plug and had that one, I think, second quarter steal in the backcourt that kind of sparked him. They just, all night, they were looking for moments to really, you know, kind of light a fire under that offense that we've seen do what it does all season long. But that Lakers defense, which is going to be their calling card, was there.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, for the Pacers, and this is where like the one game aspect of the tournament really plays into it. They're 10 of 41 from three. And they're a team that really can't survive that.
Although, I mean, didn't they only hit seven in the semifinal? That last couple of games.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, they just didn't, but they just didn't shoot well enough. 36% overall.
Right.
Like they just have to hit shots.
Right.
And like that's their calling card because that's how they win. And the Lakers just bludgeoned them. And you had Miles Turner fouling out of this game. And then they really have no resistance without Miles Turner in there.
Have we said Austin Reeves' name? How disrespectful.
I'm saving the best
right,
for last.
All right. I'm just, you know. I just glanced at the box, saw 28.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And the crowd probably loved him more than they loved just about
anything. Man, he had like his and-one hat on today.
He did.
You know what I mean?
He like, did. There was
playing with that ball.
There's a couple sequences where he just had the crowd just oohing and aahing over all of his dribble moves. He had his shot falling. He was getting to the free throw line. I mean, he was very impressive tonight. Finished 28 points, 2 boards, 3 assists, 10 of 12 from the free throw. And there's a lot of free throws, a lot of fouls in this game. But Reeves was phenomenal, and he wasn't feeling well. And that was like reported
non-COVID illness.
Yeah. Reported by Shams before the game
right.
and then re-emphasized by Darvin Ham afterwards that he just like wasn't feeling well and just pulled it together anyway.
My guy, Dan Wojcicki, who covers the Lakers for the LA Times, tweeted, mm-hmm. and I need to ask Dan about this because it was a very dramatic tweet about how Austin was struggling to bring the pregame, to bring the fork to his mouth as he ate chicken.
Wow.
This is tough.
he looked like someone that could handle a fork just fine.
I don't know what Nan saw. Maybe he was being facetious. I don't know. Real quick, not to take your host hat and throw a question at you.
Do it.
Just because this is the uniqueness of the IST, as we call it, because now the season continues. The Lakers are currently 14-9. They've played a lot of kind of bad basketball in non-in-season tournament games. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in a good place. What are your kind of updated speculation perspective on who they are, big picture, for this season?
Honestly, this doesn't change a whole lot for me. I think that, like, LeBron obviously wanted this. And, like, AD by proxy also really wanted this.
Right.
I still am concerned about their depth. They play, and some of that depth issues are being handled just by like Vanderbilt getting back, Rui getting back. Those guys are going to help, but largely
Gabe Vincent eventually.
Yeah, Gabe Vincent.
Yeah,
who's on his way back? Who was warming up before the game? I don't know. I need to know more. I need to learn more about this cast because it really was like LeBron and AD.
Well, and Austin Reeves carrying like it. As much fun as it is to watch.
Yeah,
and I'll knock on wood because I enjoy watching LeBron be at his best.
Sure.
It's just he can't do this all the way to the finish line. No.
Not for another 60 games. He can't do this. So
60. I mean, they're hoping for 80. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I mean, it's really cool that they won this. I don't see the Lakers like making a push for even home court advantage in the Western. The Western Conference is just too tough.
Yeah.
There's too many teams that will like pedal to the metal the rest of the time.
Right.
And they just can't do it. And that's okay. But as long as they can get in the playoffs, they're going to have a chance. You know, none of these guys, except for LeBron and AD, were on that bubble team. And so they still have some stuff to work out. And so I'm kind of putting a pin in them a little bit, but really not believing in them as like a true title contender. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I do. I mean, I would love to be proven wrong. It's just the age thing. I mean, you know, no matter how many times LeBron shocks us, it's just, you know, father time being undefeated is the oldest and truest cliche in the book.
Yeah.
The other part that I do though give credence to and I think has substance is that LeBron was the one post game, again, part of the celebration, when Malik Andrews asked him a question just about motivation, he actually alluded to November and December of last season and how they were not good.
Brutal.
And so, you know, I actually liked the fact that for him, that mentality is not, hey, let's be the first people to win in Vegas for the in-season tournament or let's get something you know, shiny and a trophy now, just in case we can't get the job done later. It was a bigger picture perspective. Like, this is a chapter that will help them down the road.
Yeah.
I thought that was probably a good sign, you know, as far as where his head's at.
On the other side, with the Pacers, who sit at 12-8, fifth in the East, does this change your perspective on them at all?
No, it was just fun to get to see them. I'm West Coast based, as you know, reporting wise, enjoyed the heck out of talking to some of their guys. Mm-hmm. You know, got to deal with Tyrese a bit in Sacramento when he was there, but didn't know him all that well. It was more just learning from up close about their group. But again, it's, you know, what'd you say the record is now?
They are 12-8.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, this, the parity in the league right now is such that, you know, I think they'll probably still beat Detroit, but from there, you know, they're going to be fighting all year long.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, is there a chance that the Pacers are, you know, kind of fall off the cliff in terms of being the darlings that they are right now? Maybe. There's a long ways to go. It does feel like they have a style of play. They have an energy. They certainly have the attention, by the way, of the Pacers fan base. I talked to a Pacers official tonight who kind of directed me toward their Twitter account that had pictures of their stadium completely full for a watch party.
That's awesome.
Back in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
It's been a while since the energy was like that in that neck of the woods.
Yeah. And they got the All-Star game this year too.
Right.
So there's a lot of excitement.
Although I will say, and I was going to share this picture here.
Yeah.
My goodness. I walk into the post-game press conference of Pacers coach Rick Carlisle.
Yeah.
And this is probably not going to come through very well on camera. I'm going to try anyway. This is what it looks like when the national spotlight disappears quickly.
Oh, no.
There were not a lot of reporters. The typically past couple days, Pacers press conferences were packed.
Yeah.
And
oh, no.
It was Rick and a few of his friends.
Oh, man.
I actually felt bad because I hope Rick doesn't watch our pod tonight. Rick was answering a question that meant he was looking in my direction.
Yeah.
And I was like trying to sneak a picture that essentially was capturing the lack of attention. And I was afraid that he was going to wonder what the hell I was doing. But, you know, that's what happens. You fall short, then everybody goes to the other locker room.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Let's talk about just the in-season tournament as a whole. Your thoughts on how this went. Obviously, it's a success for the league in a lot of ways, but just, you know, being here, seeing the crowd, what's your response?
I like it. I like it a lot. I do. You know, I said this to somebody from the league the other day. I'm curious, not to be like the cynical sports writer, if they can continue the momentum, because there was a few unique things that came with this particular one.
Yeah.
The Lakers getting to the end is great for the league.
Oh, yeah.
The LeBron storyline. And then if you're going to have a small market team, then you need a kind of people's champion like Tyrese Halliburton.
Sure.
Who's relatable and even like Steph Curry, like when it comes to being small and, you know, that's the kind of players that fans really gravitate toward.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have a good mix. You know, you're always going to have to roll the dice, pun intended, with being here in Sin City. So what does that look like next year? And I will say this, I'm going to drop a little Athletic NBA show scoopage here that I'm going to put in my story later. The contract that the NBA has for the in-season tournament with Vegas, it was only through this year.
Oh, interesting.
So could it be in Vegas next year? It could, no question. But contractually, there's nothing promised past this year. Whether it's next year or the one after that or down the line, I do think they will experiment with other locations eventually. I was even joking with the league official, like, hey, thanks for doing it on my side of the country. It was easy to get here.
Yeah.
And the response I got with them might not always be that way.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know the timeline, but yeah, the contract, it was just for this year.
Yeah, that is really interesting, because I'd been thinking about it today. Like, these East Coast teams are probably like, I don't think you could just do it here over and over again, because if it is like Phoenix or LA or even the Warriors or somebody that get here, like, it's just so much, like, it feels like a home game.
Yeah.
For those teams.
That's fair too. Yeah. You don't want it to be the Lakers show if they are actually competing. Yeah. That's fair.
I think that they just need to have it in OKC.
Hey, I'm sure that's number two on
not
the list.
I'm sure that they really want that to happen.
I don't listen. I'm trying to think. The city that comes to mind for me does not have an O or a K or a C in it. It's got a M and an I and an A and an M and an I.
Yeah.
I just gave them right to you.
Yeah.
But who knows? I don't know what that looks like. But I think the East Coast representation at some point will happen.
Yeah. No, I think that makes a lot of sense.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. And I think if you're the league, you're one, you're very happy that it was the Lakers that got here. I don't think they necessarily care who wins it, just as long as like you get the Lakers here, you fill the stadium, and like there is some energy
right
behind it.
Right.
Because I just wonder if it was Pacers Wolves, you know, like what I'd be so curious to see, like, what is the energy in this building for Pacers Wolves?
Or even Pacers Pelicans.
Yeah, Pacers, you know, Pelicans, which almost happened.
Yeah.
Like what?
Because let's be honest, now we're getting in the weeds, but like the way Zion's playing, it'd be one thing if he was living up to his potential.
Oh, yeah.
And he was this monster that people wanted to come see. That's not how they're playing.
Mm-mm.
He's not playing very well, and they're winning games, not in spite of him, but he's not the star.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been tricky. And this escaped me a moment ago as far as my skepticism, too, is that, remember a few years back when the league added the Elam ending in the All-Star game?
Yeah.
In Chicago. And, yep. And first year, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they fixed the All-Star game.
They fixed it.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to fix it again a few years later because it's not fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even more stuff we could get into. The money stuff. Players are already hinting at, yeah, this is nice, but give us even more money.
Right. You
know? So what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
But we can only judge what this one looked like. And
yeah,
I think it was a pretty smashing success.
Yeah. The players cared. The fans that were here cared. A lot of excitement. You know, Sam N, who's producing right now, and I talked to a lot of different fans. I mean, we talked to a fan that flew in from Hawaii, who's a Pacers fan. We talked to a guy who flew in from China just for this. Like, people are coming in from all over the world specifically for this tournament. And maybe it's like, oh, it's the first one ever. But if the players keep caring about it, I think the fans will keep caring about it.
I think they should just make the locations more and more exotic. Let's just go Hawaii.
Hey,
next year.
I wouldn't be mad about that.
Then, I mean, let's just go even farther, you know? I don't know.
Australia?
Yeah.
There's a lot of hoops heads in Australia.
No question.
I mean, that'd be amazing.
I've still never been. I got to get over there.
Let's do it. Yeah. In-season tournament.
I like it.
Australia.
I like it.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Athletic NBA Show. You can go to theathletic.com/NBA show and get The Athletic for a discounted rate. We'll have so much more content coming at you guys. Hey, the season's actually not over. We're in the middle of the season, so we're going to have more podcast coming at you on Monday with the Basketball Buds. We got Sam Amick and Anthony Slater. Maybe Fred Katz on Thursday.
TBD.
We'll see about that for tampering. So be sure to tune into that and stay locked in to everything at The Athletic.